What a perfect morning to be talking some football. It's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo with you. We got Cade Chumsen behind the glass. We're at the City Play Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. We got you for the next hour right here on ESPN 106.3. We got a lot to do. We'll do a little headline hierarchy a little later on in the program. We'll do a little Blitz the Book. We got a couple quarterbacks to talk about who played well in the preseason, the youngsters, the second-year guys and the first-year guys. And we also have a potential basically 35-team college football playoff to potentially break down as well, according to Pete Thamel of ESPN.com. Hard Rock Bet, go get started now. Go down to the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Go to hardrock.bet to get started. Even if you got a feeling about today's game, the preseason games, you could put just $5 into Hard Rock Bet and get $150 in bonus bets. You heard that right. That's $5 into $150 in bonus bets over on the Hard Rock Bet app. You got baseball season in full swing. Last 6, 7, 8 weeks of the season coming about here. So get started on the futures. Get started. Now you're getting some playoff-implicating baseball. So there's a little bit more of a sense of who's going to win what game, who's going to win this, because the games are more important at this part of the year, especially in baseball. Go get started or put together some fun parlay prop bets on that front. You got college football basically around the corner next week, I believe, is that kickoff when it really kicks off next Saturday. So you got games throughout the week next week, and then following that, you technically got the week zero. A lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that quite a bit, and because of that, go get started and take a national championship pick. Go take a future on who you think is going to win the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten. You can do it all on the Hard Rock Bet, even if you don't even know what to bet. Go check out the Discover page. You can see what other users have put together and that you could tap and tag along in just a few taps. That's how easy it is on the app. It's Hard Rock Bet offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus. Physically present in Florida. The wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling, call 1-888-MINUTE. Cade Chumsen behind the glass at the City Play Studios with Colin Russo on ESPN 106.3. We're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter /X at ESPN West Palm. Cade, when I saw this yesterday, and I saw it initially from Nicole Auerbach, who covers college football for NBC Sports, and the one thing she said, according to ESPN had it first with Pete Thamel, but she puts it into plain English. The Big Ten, specifically, indeed, is in very early stages of discussing the idea of a 28-team college football playoff model, and the sources confirm it. It would eliminate conference championship games and would have most spots designated per the league. What that means is the idea was described to her allegedly as 7 spots for the Big Ten, 7 spots for the SEC, 5 spots for the ACC, 5 spots for the Big 12, 2 group of 5, and 2 at large. First 2 rounds would be played on the campuses, and the first round would be played during the current conference championship weekend, which is the first weekend in December, usually. Now, obviously, these are floating around, but they haven't circulated past the Big Ten. But if the Big Ten is talking about it, Big Ten is one of the 2 major conferences that you need, really, to make a change like this. I don't think this has ever happened, but when I first read this, I almost fell out of my chair. I couldn't think of a more horrific idea than whatever the hell this is. This is a god-awful idea. 28 teams with 7 automatic, no more conference championship games. Eliminate that. It's just going to be a big playoff model. Do we need 30 teams? Do we really think that the 30th team, Army, is going to be that big-time team for us? Cade, your reaction to the Big Ten getting this 28-team potential, at least in the early stages of the
Completely talks. Unnecessary. Completely unnecessary and just a straight highway to more playoff blowouts. That was the number one complaint that we had last year, is that the wrong teams were in the first round and then we didn't even need that first round of 12 teams. Once we finally got to the 8 best teams, then we actually had a playoff. Now we're going to spend 2 extra weekends of non-conference championship football, which would be a heck of a lot better than whatever they're going to throw together in the first round. And we're going to waste it with more blowouts just to get to the same 10 or 8 teams that we knew were the best from the get-go, and then we can actually have a playoff.
Yeah,
you're wasting other people's time. You're wasting other schools' time because other schools could be playing in their own conference championships, which to lesser-known universities, to lesser-known conferences.
To hang up a banner.
Those are bigger deals for them than just to waste away a blowout in the first round of a so-called 28-team playoff. Would anyone watch that? Maybe you have the one hilariously lucky win for a, like, maybe just say a top seven team goes down early to a top 20 team. But then that's it. And that's a hard maybe. And then you're basically down to the last six teams that we all knew was going to happen. There's the parity in college football is not there, and they're trying to force it in there with the format instead of a different way of equaling out the talent from the transfer portal, from high school recruiting. That's where it starts with all of this, not formatting your postseason.
Yeah, very bizarre. Very bizarre. You're right. I give you, it's a good point saying that this playing in that conference championship game is a bigger deal to the wide majority of college football teams for the chance to hang a conference banner in their stadium comparatively. You know, Georgia gets it every year. They don't care as much. But think about it. If Northwestern makes a run one year or Iowa, they're going to care about that Big Ten championship game. If you're going to tell me that the right move is to have Georgia host Minnesota in Athens, Georgia, in that first week of December, and we see a 63-7 thrashing, come on. Let's think realistically here. The Big Ten football standings last year, it would be Michigan, Iowa, Illinois, Ohio State, Penn State, Indiana, and Oregon. Now, it's funny because all those teams actually did have a successful bowl season, but Minnesota was also 5-4. Minnesota and Michigan would be clawing for that final spot in the Big Ten. And that's not even including an at-large, which could be anybody. That is the stupidest thing in the world. Arizona State, Iowa State, BYU, Colorado, Baylor would get a bid. Baylor was that fifth team in the Big 12 last year. They would get a bid. Really? Is that really what we want? Who watched that last year's playoff and thought, boy, wouldn't it be great if we had more teams in here? Not a single person said that. Louisville would have made it. Syracuse would have made
it. Hold on, that sounded really bad. We're just trashing on all of these teams.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Good team. Fine. 9-4. Good year. We don't need to see Louisville at, you know,
a lot of
Georgia,
people didn't even
at
see,
Texas.
A lot of people didn't even want to see Clemson last year. And they won the ACC championship.
Didn't want to see SMU. Didn't want to see Clemson. Didn't want to see Indiana, who went undefeated. It's the definition of there's levels to this in college football. There is a bigger discrepancy from the greats, from the goods, and it's as big as ever. College basketball is different. You got to play one game, and basketball, the margin of talent level is not as glaring. It really isn't. College football, the guys are bigger. The offensive lines are bigger. The quarterbacks are usually better. They got more money. Their depth. They got the head coach. They got the best coaches. It's a lot harder to close the gap between a mid-level Power 5 team and a top-level Power 5 team. It's too difficult. I can't think of a worse idea than this. If you're going to eliminate conference championships and just get everybody in on either side, you know Rutgers would have had a chance. Rutgers was 4-5 in the Big Ten last year. Whew. They would have been a game removed. If we had Rutgers in there, my God. I don't understand. It's such a... They're trying to replicate what, like, March Madness is, but it would take two months. You do four rounds. You can't do that weekly. They do it every 10 or 12 days. Four rounds. All right. You got a month and a half. We'll figure out who's the champion. That's too much. That's too much. Biting off more than you could chew. Little power hungry here. And it hurts the bowl games. Hurts the bowl games.
Majorly.
Because all these games would be on campus. It wouldn't be a bowl set. I don't know a single person that watched this past year of that playoff, which I thought was ultimately a success. It wasn't that great in terms of the games, and they screwed up the seeding, but the games on campuses were cool, and seeing Notre Dame make a run was interesting. Both games in the semifinals were good. Ohio State was just better than everybody. You're going to have that again this year. There's going to be a team head and shoulders above the rest. That's the big problem. I don't understand why this makes sense. Pete Thamel of ESPN was the first to get it. And Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti, according to Thamel, ran the idea by the entire league over on Wednesday. And now it's basically an evolved idea from getting play-in games. Instead, just make a big tournament. Tournaments in football are tricky because you got to give the guys time to rest and recover, especially college guys. This is not the NFL where you could play on a Saturday and then have them play on the following Saturday in another playoff game. These guys are not professionals.
But aren't the conference championships already play-in games at this point?
Yes.
Right.
But you're right. And for a couple of conferences, keep that in mind. You know, in the SEC, both teams are going to get in. In the Big Ten, both teams are going to get in. In the Big 12, you have to have a conversation. In the ACC, both teams got in. So I guess it depends on the year. But you're hurting the conference championship because I want to see do-or-die football, right? But I also want to see high-level teams play each other. I want it to be difficult to get into that playoff. It should be difficult to get into that playoff. 28th overall, you could lose four games. You could lose four games in a 12-game schedule and make it. That is inherently the wrong thing. You're dumbing down the regular season. Ask the other leagues what has happened when you dumb down the regular season. Not good. Not good. When everybody's special, nobody is. Bad job there. Hopefully there's nothing comes of it. I don't think anything. We're going to expand probably to 16. Hopefully it stops there. That's all I could say. Hopefully it stops at 16. We don't need more teams. There's not enough good teams in college football. There really isn't. Never has been. Never will be. There was too much of a power discrepancy between the big-time programs and the lesser-known but also big programs. Too much of a discrepancy. Not like the NFL where it's year by year somebody else's game. Fair shot. It's not like college basketball where, again, all it takes is the right year and the right run. It's not like that. You thought Indiana was a Cinderella until they ran into some powerhouses. And then you noticed just how small they were up front on the lines and just how outmatched they were in terms of speed and athleticism. There's too many future pros on those other teams. Kate Chums and Colin Russo, Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. To jump over a little bit, we had NFL preseason action yesterday. And a couple of games got me thinking because, number one, Jackson Dart played very well. Jackson Dart had another good game. He's played two games in the preseason. You don't want to run away with it, but for a first-round pick for a Giants quarterback, for a team that has had a whole lot of nothing recently, it got me thinking, all right, so Cade, what we're going to do is we're going to go through this year's teams that have quarterbacks and see where they're at right now, and then we're going to go through the team that drafted. Let's stick in the first round for last year's teams in the first round for quarterbacks and letter grade where they are. Let's start with this year. I watched a little bit of that Cam Ward against the Falcons game on Friday night. That guy, you know, you saw it at Miami, but I didn't like the nonchalant. He kind of just like, felt like he was winging it. When I was watching him there, he was playing well. He was playing with a lot more urgency, and his arm is insane. Yeah. My first one, number one overall pick, he's got no expectation to him. He's not in a bad situation. I mean, maybe the coach might stink. We don't know that yet. But it's not like he's going to have the walls caving in on him a la Caleb Williams if he has a bad first year. I think Cam Ward, number one, is in a good location, good spot. And number two, I think he's going to be a very good player. Maybe not immediately, but a very good player. I'm going to start this. I'm going to give... I understand this year's teams way too early. You can't make a declaration. But from where I sit today, I think they're comfortably at an A.
Yeah, I'm going to say the same thing. He looks very poised in the pocket. And it's not like he's scrambling around like a rookie or he's forcing throws or anything like that. His arm is insane.
Arm is unbelievable.
I don't know if he has the best wide receiver talent around him to make some plays.
The team is going to stink. They're going to be bad. But I think he will be a highlight on a bad team.
If you're a Titans fan right now, be excited for the future. Don't set your expectations too high for 2025. But this team is headed in the right direction. I'm agreeing with you on an A for Cam Ward and the Tennessee Titans.
And let's think about this, too. Like, is he the least talked about number one overall pick we've had in years?
Years.
Since Trayvon Walker. for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Other than that, every single guy has been scrutinized, microscopic. Everybody's in on every move he makes. He's allowed to just go into that Tennessee Titan organization, which is a small market team who doesn't get a lot of coverage, and he's just able to do his thing. He stays out of the way. He says all the right things. He's going to have a very good career, unfortunately for Jaguars and Titans, Texans fans like Cade and myself. All right, so let's move on from there. Number two, Jackson Dart for the New York Giants. The good news about this selection, I like this selection in the draft. The one thing about this is he doesn't have to play immediately. They got Russell Wilson. They even got Jameis if they want him. Russell Wilson is good enough to start. Russell Wilson is good enough to win a couple games. Dart has came in and played well. He's been efficient. He's commanded the offense. Has shown good signs. You can't run away with how people play in the preseason, but I like the fact that he's playing, and he's playing confidently. I don't want to draw too much here. I think the Giants would be comfortable here with like an A-minus. A B-plus, A-minus, just off of the situation. Not off the player yet. You don't know enough about him. But I think the fact that they have a player that they don't need to play immediately, they're going to get him plenty of run in the preseason. And then if it went to how I'd do it, that gauntlet of a schedule, don't let him see the field. Don't let him see the field. Don't crush his confidence. Let him sit there and learn. And then maybe if the team has not a lot to play for or something happens mid-year, then you could start giving him some run and seeing what you got. I think that's the best situation for the Giants. I actually think they're going to be really pleased. I think they're pleased right now with what they've seen. Way too early, I'd give him an A-.
The man has confidence. The man has literally a dart. Like, he is ripping those balls through the middle of the field. I'm still worried about the head coach and GM situation. Because what's going to happen when this team inevitably stinks this year? They're going to get rid of both of them either midseason or after the season. And Jackson Dart almost has to reset his entire philosophy on what it means to be a quarterback when he has never even seen the field in the regular season. As a player, I love what he's doing. I love what type of character he is on the field. He's showboaty, but he's not overly gloating at the other team, which I love that confidence. But I'm still nervous on what he's going to have to shift himself to next year because I don't think Daboll makes the end of the year. And so I'm going to give the team right now a B, maybe Jackson Dart the A. Still nervous on how the coaching situation is going to go.
Yeah, he finished 14 of 16 for 137 yards and a touchdown passing and another rushing yesterday. He led two straight touchdown drives to begin the second half.
Yeah, you can't be disappointed with how he's actually playing on the field.
Definitely not. And Russell Wilson also played pretty well, too, coming into the game as well. The one thing I'd agree with you with is I'd kill to be a fly on the wall on the John Mara, Brian Daboll, Joe Shane discussions and just what the pulse of the team is. Because think about the schedule for a second. At Commanders to start, at Cowboys after that, Chiefs at home, Chargers at home, then they get at the Saints, then they go Eagles at home on Thursday night, at the Broncos the week after, at the Eagles after that, and then Niners. With no buys. No buys. How much blame can you put on a coach? You had to win a couple of those, but if of those, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. If you go 3-6, is that considered a win?
Yes.
With that schedule.
Oh, huge. I have them winning two of their first like 10.
Yeah.
Like if 3-6, that's a great record. It's also going to depend on how they look too. If you're making these game-winning field goal type of games, you just can't be losing by 20 points every week.
I agree. And if you're competitive and you're showing fight, I think they might keep their jobs, weirdly enough. Mara's desperate, and John Mara's the owner of the New York Giants, desperate to see steps forward. Desperate. All right. So yeah, you're a little lower on the team situation for them comparatively to me. I think here's my F. I think this is going to be a dumpster fire. Is the New Orleans Saints and Tyler Shuck, who was the third quarterback taken in the draft in 2025. And, you know, I haven't watched too much of what's going on because I know he's starting today. They're playing Jacksonville today on NFL Network, so I'll watch him today. But, I mean, I couldn't think of a more terrible situation than what's going on in New Orleans. That team's got a fast track to the first overall pick. I think they're going to be selecting another one. This guy's a 25-year-old rookie. I don't know. I think this is, you know what, I won't give him an F. I haven't seen him yet. I'll give him a D.
The first preseason game for Tyler Shuck against the Chargers, he went 15 of 22, 165, a touchdown, and an interception.
That's a fine stat line.
Yeah, that's not bad. in your first preseason game against the Chargers, who weren't starting anybody.
Literally any, because they've, yeah.
It's, again, you're kind of just mysterious about this one. I'll give them a C minus D plus because of what we don't know about them.
Yeah.
I'm way more concerned about the team overall. Alvin Kamara is probably going to be gone. They're already losing some defensive members. Cam Jordan is on the decline of his career.
Right.
There's nothing really on the horizon for this team outside of next year's draft where they could potentially get another quarterback for the third year in a row. So
where would you put the Browns? All right, so let's do this really quick.
Yeah.
Browns have two quarterbacks. We'll group it together, their situation. Dare I say, I think the Browns are a passing B.
It's funny because I thought you were going to go lower, but I'm actually on the same page with you.
Passing B, just off of volume shooting, they shot four shots at the wall and just one needs to stick. I mean, could I see both of them stinking? I don't know. I don't think so. And Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, I don't think both are going to be terrible players.
If they do both stink, though, they're good trading components.
Right. If there's, here's the thing. You at least have one good backup that you could have for the foreseeable future. And the good news is they have two first rounders next year. You didn't put a ton of capital into the players, so you don't have a lot of money tied up with them.
And you've got Myles Garrett.
And you got you have talent. You have a decent coach. I don't know how much longer he's going to be there, but you get a good coach. In terms of the situation, they'll know. They're going to get, all those players are going to get run. All those players are going to start regular season games. Yep. Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders are both going to start regular season games. They're going to get Flacco a few. Then all of a sudden, if he goes down for a couple games, they'd probably go to Gabriel. Then they go to Shea Sanders. Dare I say a passing B? All right. Let's do this quickly here because I think this is honestly pretty simple because we're going to get a lot of good grades here.
Yeah.
Let's get the Washington Commanders out of the way from last year with Jaden Daniels. That's an A+.
That's an A+.
A+, no discussion needed. Where would you put the New England Patriots and Drake May?
Also an A. Phenomenal offseason. They got all the components they needed for him. They have an offensive line. Your boy, who's the rookie who went off?
Travion Henderson.
Yes. Yeah. Already surefire star.
Mm-hmm.
Off of that kickoff return touchdown in the first time he touched the ball.
I'm going to give him an A-. You know, okay. Drake May had his ups and downs, but I agree. Situation. His situation's got to be trending upward. It's a trendy team, and they get a good coach. We'll see how well they play. I like May as a player. I just need to take steps. A-. I'm thinking figure skating here. I can't give everybody an A. A- there. All right, let's go Bo Nix.
Bo Nix, you'd also have to give the A.
That deserves an A. Made a playoff.
You have to.
Have to give him an A. Now, where would you put J.J. McCarthy?
Okay. I think this is an A, but you have to set the expectations correct.
Okay.
This is not going to be another 12-13 win team like they were. What were they?
14 wins.
Yeah. No. A 9-8 season is successful for Minnesota. Do not put the expectations on this kid who not only didn't see the field last year, didn't even walk.
He wasn't even practicing.
Most of last year, right? So you're starting essentially from scratch. You have a weakened offensive line. Do not put the expectations on this kid. Last year was a complete surprise. Nobody saw this coming. Let's go back to what we thought of last year to this year. Will they be competitive? Yes. Will they make all of these crazy runs? The defense should stay solid. You've got Justin Jefferson. Jordan Addison needs to get his head out of you-know-where. And they'll be fine. 9-8, winning season for Minnesota. That's a good situation. Let's move on for years in the future. The situation is an A. Don't make it more than it needs to be.
I am team. This is a B. I understand that you. I understand what you're saying, like in terms of what you're looking for. I would give this a B because, number one, it was a pleasant surprise that you didn't necessarily need him last year, and Darnold was great. And it was a pleasant surprise that he honestly got a year to just at least be around an NFL team.
Yeah.
Didn't necessarily get to practice and play, but he was around it. You know, that makes a difference too. Now, I'm giving it a B because he's next to a quarterback whisperer in Kevin O'Connell. Kevin O'Connell is the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, just speaks to quarterbacks perfectly. Look how Kirk Cousins has played without him. I mean, we'll see how Darnold does without him, but look how Darnold did before he got there. This guy will make sure he is comfortable at the very least. They got a good situation around them. They got a good first offensive line for the most part. They got a good defense. They play in a tough division. We'll see what happens. But I lean on the side that he's got a lot of expectation. And there's a lot of questions. And the biggest question, and he is very much the indicative reason of whether they succeed or not. So I would put that as a B right now. All right, on top of that, let's go to the Falcons. Falcons with Michael Penix.
This is a C+.
Wow, so you're down on this.
This is the one I'm not super excited about. Yes, did they make some moves to help out their defense? But Kyle Pitts has still been a disappointment. Bijan is great. I still think we're overhyping him a little bit.
Great on an okay team does nothing for anybody.
Right?
Great running backs need to be on great teams. Saquon Barkley is excellent on an excellent team. Christian McCaffrey was excellent on an excellent team. Derrick Henry's excellent on an excellent team. That's what running backs need to be.
I thought Michael Penix was good, but nothing showed me outstanding outside of, yeah, you didn't blow it as a rookie. This team still mightily disappointed us last year when they should have been the overall favorite for that division.
Oh, I love that over last year. Oh, they let me down.
And I don't think that we're going to see anything amazing from them this year outside of some good stuff. Like, roster-wise, this team is insane. But historically, and their head coach doesn't impress me at all either. You said he was one of the guys on the hot seat.
I am down on Raheem Morris.
Thank you. He was completely emptying my brain right there.
Yeah.
I look at this roster and I get so excited, and then I look at the team and I don't.
Yeah, this is a weird situation. I agree. This is sort of in the B- territory to me, maybe C+, because you got to give Penix a real look. You gave him the mid-year. They were reeling when they put him in. You know, they were 6-3 with Cousins. Then all of a sudden, he's a mess. And then they put him in with about 5-6 games to go. He didn't get a real look. Now, on top of that, you're right. They got great running backs. They got a great offense. They got a lot of pieces everywhere. There's some intrigue there. Defensively, and Raheem Morris, apparently defensive guy. Defensively, they're a mess. They were a complete mess last year. Now, they took a lot in the offseason to kind of overhaul that. They drafted two first-round defensive players, especially on the defensive line. So they got some opportunity to take steps forward. They got good safeties. But I lean on the side that this team, that would be my prediction. I don't think that coach is going to be there eventually. I don't think he will be there. I don't think, ever since he blew that last game of the season for them, when he didn't know how to call the timeouts against Tampa Bay, oh, my gosh. I've never been more disappointed in a coach. And then he dodged the blame. He's out. I'm out on him. I don't think Raheem Morris is a big-time coach. They should have given it to Belichick when Belichick was available when they were looking for coaches. That was, and all right, let's do the last one here before we get to break. Caleb Williams.
A.
You're A here.
I mean,
nobody gets more unfairly criticized than that gentleman right there.
But they did the right things in the offseason. They got the coach. They got the offensive line. They still have the players on the outside. Yes, was he a disappointment last year? But also, I think the expectations were too high.
The team was a disappointment. Like, it's not just him. He wasn't the reason that it was everybody. Like, the team, they fired the coach in the middle of the year. How disappointing could Caleb be when they fired the coach?
Fair, but like, you can't not be excited going into this year.
I agree.
So the situation's an A.
I think people get the wrong idea of what the Bears should be. The Bears are not trying to win a Super Bowl this year. First year of a new coach, you're not going to have a Dan Quinn situation every single year. This is going to be a process. You get four more years before you have to really think about extending him, 2-3 more years. He has had flashes. He's still learning how to be a pro. You could tell. He's still learning how to read NFL defenses. But he's in a good situation with a lot of good players, a new and improved offensive line. Give him time. They need to win 9-10 games. They don't need to win 12 or 13 games and win 2 playoff games. They need to win 10 games and be in line for the dance. If they do that, that is a successful Bears season. I am not A there. I think I'm B plus A minus.
Okay.
Right in the 90 territory.
Sure.
So that would be where I sit for Caleb Williams because I think he's a good player. I think he gets too unfairly criticized. I think people get the wrong idea of what they're expecting. What do you want him to light the world on fire year two? It's only because Jaden Daniels lit the world on fire year one that the expectations are placed on Caleb Williams. Speaking of football, the annual Boca Raton ABC Supply Company's Great Chefs Tailgate Showcase heats up on Wednesday, September 10th. From 6 to 8:30 p.m., join ESPN 106.3's Theo Dorsey at Boca Raton Innovation Campus in Boca Raton as dozens of local chefs, breweries, and cocktail masters serve their favorite tailgate classics. Tickets are on sale now, includes all food samplings, entertainment, beer, wine, cocktails, and soft drinks. Visit spiritofgivingnetwork.org/events to purchase your tickets today. On the flip side, we'll do a little headline hierarchy, rank Cade's top five headlines, 1 through 5, blindly. Should be a lot of fun. That's Cade Chums and Colin Russo. It's Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet and ESPN 106.3.
Roadrunner, Roadrunner, Roadrunner.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
If you've been to car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, my friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys are the type to fight for you. They don't charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. The best in the business for a reason. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand Anajar and Levine today because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. All it takes is one phone call. Take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for that free consultation now. That's 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. All right, it's time for us to bounce around. Time for us to make a ranking. So how this works, we'll do a headline hierarchy where Cade has 5 headlines to give to me in a random order. And it is my decision to rank them 1 to 5 and most important to least important in the sports world. Cade, take it away. Let's do a little headline hierarchy.
5 mystery storylines from the National Football League.
I thought this would be purposeful on Cade's part.
1 Colin Russo hoping to not bury the lead.
This is not a big-time headline.
It's time for the headline hierarchy on Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
That's right, Colin. We're back with another headline hierarchy. Your best from not just the NFL, but around sports in general. Let's start with another rookie sensation from last night. We've been talking quarterbacks, but let's go to the running backs. Ashton Jeanty with a solid outing against, whoever the Raiders were playing. Ashton Jeanty goes for 7 carries, 33 yards, and a touchdown. He also had a massive 13-yard run where he absolutely trucks. It was one of the 49ers, now that I remember it.
Yep.
One of the 49ers defenders. I mean, this man looks like a beast. How have you been thinking about Ashton Jeanty's preseason performances?
I'm down on him because I don't think that team stinks. You know, he's going to be the focal point of every team's game plan. That's not a recipe for success. This is not Boise State where you can get away with that, you know? With UNLV trying to shut you down. This is not like that. This is the NFL team that is saying, all right, well, there's 2 players on this offense that we need to worry about. Brock Bowers and Ashton Jeanty. The offensive line is probably not that good. That's problem number 1. And problem number 2 is that team's not going to be very good either. I think he's going to have a up and down year. I don't think he's going to be great immediately. I think he's a great talent. I just think it's all situational with running backs. So I'm down on him. I don't know if he's going to have a terrific immediate impact season. I think there's other guys you could look for that are going to have bigger impacts early. But in terms of Ashton Jeanty, I'm going to put him right at 4. So he's going to be number 4. Ashton Jeanty.
Next up, let's head to more college football shenanigans. We've heard the ruling on the Michigan sign-stealing penalties, but Jim Harbaugh is all hush-hush about it like he was last year. He's refusing to comment on the NCAA's decision to fine Michigan tens of millions of dollars and suspended football head coach Sharon Moore, saying after the Chargers loss the other day, he's like, I said, quote, like I said to you last year, not engaging. Not engaging. There's just so much weird stuff about this whole ruling. What have you thought about the NCAA's ruling for Michigan sign stealing?
Yeah, my personal opinion is, think about it, if you're Harbaugh, if you're the NCAA and you actually wanted Harbaugh, and you can't punish Harbaugh, you can give him that show and cause where he can't get hired by an NCAA team for the next 10 years, that doesn't matter to him. He's not coming back to the NCAA anytime soon. If you really wanted to make Harbaugh feel it, We wanted him to make him feel it. I don't think vacating the title was the right move. I don't think doing anything or our postseason ban would have been like that. But I think suspending the head coach of all of a sudden, Sherrone Moore, who is sort of your fall man here, because Harbaugh knew about it. Stallions knew about it. You can't punish him. Sherrone Moore is sort of the lone man still in, you know, the line of fire. If they suspended him for the whole year, Harbaugh would have to say something. He would have to respond to that. Because it's almost blood on his hands that this guy can't coach the entire year. And that Michigan will suffer because of it. Maybe Harbaugh doesn't care. Maybe he's just thinking, and maybe he's very apologetic behind closed doors. I'm not sure. But this story and how Harbaugh responded, the story itself, I'm going to loop it up. It's going to be number one. This is going to be number
one. Wow, okay. Great stuff. Great stuff. All right. So the number one is already off the board. Let's go to number three. You know, Dylan Gabriel had himself a solid outing yesterday, but he said something very interesting on the sidelines to a reporter. Listen into this, Colin, and give me your thoughts.
It's just part of it. You know, there's entertainers and there's competitors, and I totally understand that. And my job is to compete, and that's what I'm focused on doing. Of course, we're doing this mid-game, but, you know, it's something that I'll get used to, and just want to be the best teammate I can and create an environment where we can all go do our best work. That's all we want to do.
There's entertainers and there's competitors. Sound like somebody else on the team?
Yeah, right. Good quote, other than that beginning, you know? He said the right things. I don't know why you'd say something like this if you're Dylan Gabriel. You're just stirring into the drama. I feel for Dylan Gabriel. Like, think about this. This guy played about 6 years in college, and he played good football at multiple schools for a chance to get drafted. He's a third-round pick to the Cleveland Browns, thinking, all right, I'm finally going to get my opportunity. And then Shedeur Sanders gets drafted 2 rounds later, and in comes the circus. And if you don't think the Browns have been a circus, have you look at every national media news outlet every 5 seconds to see what he's wearing or what he had for breakfast? And it's, you know, leading the headline. The fact that this has been a circus, and the spotlight will follow him, and he got a feel for Dylan Gabriel because he's sort of the odd man out there. I doubt any rookie quarterback wants that type of attention, so you got a feel for Shedeur as well. But that guy likes it. You know, that guy is an entertainer. But the one thing I'll say about Gabriel is everything else he said in that quote was good. Everything else, yeah, I want to be a good teammate, want to let everybody do their best work. And dare I say, I think he's going to be a pretty halfway decent professional player. I'm not sure if he's a starter-level player, but that's somebody who's going to have a longer career just off of the idea that he could be a viable backup. You know, you almost feel for him. Don't say stuff like that. This is going to be number two.
I can definitely see or feel his frustration just letting out. Like you said all before, you know he's just boiling on the inside of everything that's been going on to him, and it kind of just slipped a little bit right there.
Trust the coaches to make the right decision on who they're going to put. The coaches are not going to give in to the media and determining who they're going to start a quarterback. But just do what you're supposed to do and trust the coach will make the right decision.
And you're putting that at?
Two. That's number two.
Putting that at number two, Dylan Gabriel. All right. Let's move on. We've got 1, 2, and 4 already off the board. Let's over to UFC Fight Night. Khamzat Chimaev, unanimous decision over Dricus du Plessis. Khamzat gets his first middleweight world championship. It was a heck of a fight last night.
Heck of a fight indeed, and a good win. I mean, the wrestlers are unbelievable. You can't stop them.
Yeah.
This is number three. Great fight. The wrestlers, I don't like rooting for them, but that's the most dominant discipline of ultimate fighting that you could possibly be master at. It's the most dominant. Think Khabib. If you're a great wrestler, not everybody's a great hand-to-hand. Hand-to-hand, you could get caught. But if you're great on the ground, if you're tough to kind of get to put in a submission position, if you're an impossible person to deal with on the ground, that's the biggest. Nobody wants to fight you. Nobody wants to fight you. This is going to be number three. I'm nervous about leaving five up.
We have left number five for last. The Milwaukee Brewers break the franchise record for 14 straight wins last night over a rally win over the Cincinnati Reds, 6-5 in the 11th. And then also Friday night to get win number 13, they rallied from 7 runs down. This Brewers team is the hottest team in MLB, and they just broke a franchise record. Your number five slot.
Yeah, this is... I screwed this up. All right. This is a bad showing by me. This is not deserving a number five. This is probably deserving This is probably deserving of one or two. This is deserving of two behind... This is deserving of two behind the Harbaugh thing. What I should have done is had Gabriel at three, the fight at four, and then the Ash and Genty at five. Why did I put Ash and Genty at four? That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, the Brewers, they're winning emphatically. You know, they're going to run out of gas eventually, but this team is awesome. This team is must-watch television at the moment. And I'm looking forward to seeing them again today. It's going to be Jose Quintana on the mound, 140 first pitch at Cincinnati at Great American Park. So for them, think about it. They're 78-44. They're well atop the National League at the moment. They're basically the only team in the MLB that is, you know, a great team that is playing like otherworldly great. The Dodgers are sort of up back and forth a little bit. The Padres are back and forth a little bit. The Phillies are back and forth a little bit. I mean, the Yankees playing a little bit better, but still back and forth. The Mets are a complete disaster. I know they had a good showing from Nolan McLean, that new pitcher who they just called up, but they've been a mess. So other than that, a lot of these great teams haven't been playing that well. The Brewers are surging right now. It's, I don't want to throw the word destiny around, but it's that Island of Misfit Toys type team that we see every couple years, that sort of everything's clicking at the right time. They got a ton of pitchers, and they got energy, and they get momentum, and they got magic. This should have been number two, and I'm disappointed in myself because I screwed this up. I had a bad showing.
So for Colin's hierarchy, it's Michigan 1, Dylan Gabriel, quote, 2, Chimaez winning the UFC middleweight championship, 3, Ashton Genty preseason 4, and Brewers record-breaking 14 win streak at 5.
Yeah, that's bad. Bad job by me. Bad job. All right. Sorry. I didn't realize Cade was going to go MLB. I didn't anticipate that. That was a mistake on my part. Screwed that up. Nonetheless, that was the headline hierarchy. Kate Chums and Colin Russo. We'll get to a timeout here. And on the flip side, we will blitz the book, send you off into your Sunday on your Sunday drive here. It's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
Buffoon, Orbit Topper, 19 Uber, Jailbreak, Ralph Chowder.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Hard Rock Bet, go download the app today on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Hard Rock's the best because if you don't even know what to bet, you're brand new to an actual sports book. Well, Hard Rock is your option because it's catered to both sides. Both ends of the spectrum have it. If you're a brand new bettor and you don't necessarily know how to navigate through a sports book, Hard Rock's got you covered. If you're like a sports book, you're experienced with a sports book, and you want to get more savvy and intricate in how you place your bets, Hard Rock also has you covered. They got profit boost, they got promo boost, they got table tennis, they got all the sports and all the games, all the possible leagues you could think of on the app. You can bet live, you can bet way in the future, you can bet game by game, you can bet player props, which Cade and I will do in a minute. Hard Rock Bet is your place, and the best part is you get $150, $150. If you just deposit $5 on the app today. Yeah, that's right. $150 in bonus bets for just $5. Go get started now. Download the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. It's Hard Rock Bet. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus. Physically present in Florida wager. Terms and conditions apply. Considered by gambling. Call 1-888. Minute. All right, Kate, let's get through it. Let's do a little Hard Rock Bet. What's the book? All right, so how this works is Cade and I are going to make four picks in the thick of the MLB season. Four picks. We're going to take two teams straight up. We're going to take one game over under on the total runs, and we are going to take one player prop on top of that. Cade, what are our records to this point?
I caught up one more on you. I went 3-4 last week. You went 2-4. You were at 11-13. I'm at 9-15.
I've been very, very average the last couple days. All right, so Cade, let's get this going. I'm stealing it. Milwaukee to win today.
All right.
On the money line, +105 over Cincinnati. Let's get to 15.
I didn't want to touch that game with a 10-foot pole.
All right, good. I'm buying it. They're going to lose today, but I'm fine with that. I'm fine being the reason they lose.
Sounds good. Go for it. I'm going to take San Francisco Giants over the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays have had two in a row against the Giants, but they've all been comebacks with one wins. The Giants are heavily favored. I'll go with the favorites.
San Diego's lost two straight to the LA Dodgers. I don't anticipate that happening again. I think that they want to tie that up in the NL West. I'm going to take San Diego today, +120 to beat Los Angeles today, 4-10 at Dodger Stadium.
Obviously, the Detroit Tigers are favorites against the Minnesota Twins. I sometimes want to take an underdog. The Twins don't even know who they're pitching today, and that game is supposed to start at 2:10 Eastern time. I'll go with the Detroit Tigers to take care of their rival Twins.
You know, 145. Hey, can you pitch today? How's the arm feel? Yeah, I could probably pitch today. All right, get out there. Get where we need you. That's how that's going to go. How about that? All right, over-under on the runs. I'm going to take the over-under in this Baltimore-Houston game. I'm going to take the under. They got Christian Javier pitching for Baltimore. I anticipate this to be a low-scoring affair. I don't like rooting against runs, but when a good pitcher on the mound against a bad offense, that doesn't necessarily scream offense. Give me the under, Houston-Baltimore.
I'll go with the over on this Boston-Miami game. You got Jason Junk and Garrett Crotchet. Both these teams know how to hit against average pitchers. I think that happens again tonight. The over 8.5, I'm getting plus odds out of it. Marlins and Red Sox.
To record 2+ hits today, William Contreras is plus 185 for the Milwaukee Brewers. Give me that. Plus 185 for William Contreras to get 2 hits today.
Chicago Cubs starting pitcher Javier Assad. The over-under strikeouts is at 4.5. But if you go into the Hard Rock Bet app and just click on his personal strikeouts, you can get better odds if he just gets 6 or more strikeouts.
Right.
Javier Assad, 6 or more strikeouts, plus 275.
There's your picks. That's Cade Chumson. Appreciate you keeping us up over the air today. That was our Blitz the Book, presented, of course, by our pals over at Hard Rock Bet. Milwaukee's going to lose today. Congratulations to the Cincinnati Reds for breaking the streak after I just took them in my Hard Rock Bet. Nonetheless, Cade Chumson, Colin Russo, Sunday Huddle saying so long. We'll be back at it tomorrow with normal programming. You got Theoretically Speaking 2-4 Eastern Time. You also got Russo and Rizzo with myself and Mike Rizzo 4-6. Big thanks to Cade keeping us up over the air. We'll be back at it next week at 10. Actually, to react to a little college football.
Whoa!
That'll be fun. ESPN 106.3.
The preceding program was paid for in full by Hard Rock Bet. Advice and opinions expressed during this program were solely those of the guests or hosts of this program and not of ESPN 106.3 or Good Karma Brands.